Postmodern Realities Podcast, brought to you by the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, Managing Editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's August 2022, and this is episode 299, which is a conversation about the practice of daily affirmations. Today's guest is Ann Kennedy. She has an MDiv and is the author of the book, Nailed It, 365 Readings for Angry or Worn Out People. Ann blogs about current events and theological trends at Preventing Grace on Pathios.com. Ann has written an online exclusive feature article for the Christian Research Journal, and Ann's article is called I'm the Head, Not the Tail, A Christian Decides to Skip the Daily Affirmation. Subscribers can read her article for free on our website, equip.org. And if you're not already a subscriber, you can subscribe for $33.50, which brings the journal right to your door, as well as gives you access to all of our online exclusive articles. Anne, it's good to have you on.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Today, we're talking, as I mentioned, about daily affirmations, which seems to be popping up a little bit more in our culture. I notice when I do various different workouts through online, one of the main things during the cool down is to talk about the daily affirmations that you would say to help your day and help you be a better person. And so here's some of the ones that I've heard, like, I'm healthy, I am strong, I'm in control of my choices. I am the architect of my life, and I am worthy of desire. I am a worthy person. And so this seems to be going around, and I really wasn't sure exactly what it was. It's getting to be more popular. I see little memes of them or Instagram reels of mostly women saying these daily affirmations. So can you explain to our listeners a little bit more about this practice? So what is a daily affirmation?
A daily affirmation is positively spoken, usually an I statement. So, and you should, if possible, say it probably looking into a mirror. A lot of people suggest that. So you're talking to yourself, but you're also talking to sort of the world beyond you, the universe for some people, or forces, or the spiritual world. There's a differing views about why you would do them. One is psychological reasons, sort of the Norman Vincent Peale option. For many, many, a growing number of people, it's actually a kind of a spiritual exercise. It has to do with aligning your vibrational frequencies with the universe so that you can get certain things to come into your life.
So why have they become popular all of a sudden? Like, I didn't recall, you know, before maybe COVID, seeing workout videos where this has become a daily practice or a suggestion that I should do this every day.
I hadn't seen it either. The last time I really thought about daily affirmations was because of Stuart Smalley on SNL. I think it was Phil Hartman who played that character, and it was so funny. And it was a joke in the 90s because people didn't really do them. So then I think I didn't really notice it again until the pandemic, really. Post-COVID, there any social stigma that you might have had about saying a sentence out loud about how wonderful you are to the mirror. If there was some sort of social embarrassment about doing that, which I think there was, that's gone away somehow in along, you know, COVID has driven a lot of things out of our lives. But I think it's part of a growing sort of new, maybe neo-pagan spirituality that's has always been there, but is really coming into the fore in our new post-COVID world.
So how do people come across what kind of daily affirmations that they should say? In other words, do they come from a specific source, or they're just different things that you can think up that you need to work on? So, you know, if I feel like my life is kind of spinning out of control, that I would say to myself, I am in control of my choices.
There are lots and lots and lots of places you can get them online. There are lists and lists of them on websites. there's a growing section of TikTok that is just daily affirmations. And I think there's actually a growing number of men I've come across on TikTok. More, it is mostly women, but there's a few, there's some notable men on TikTok who do a daily affirmation. And then there are Christian daily affirmations, Hindu, Buddhist ones. Really, everyone is getting in on the daily affirmation option. And I watched several videos of men, actually young men, thinking sort of they do their daily affirmation journey. So they talk about how it's sort of like a journey into being converted to the daily affirmation. So they start out saying, I didn't, you know, I thought this was so dumb and I couldn't do it. And they film themselves being embarrassed. And then by the end of the video, they're saying a daily affirmation that they wrote for themselves or that somebody gave them. And then, you know, they're kind of enlightened and happy at the end of the 10 minutes.
And from the people who are practitioners of daily affirmations, explain how they work exactly. I mean, can you do them in a wrong way, like not say them in a right way that would somehow not be affirming to yourself?
I sort of thought, you know, well, a daily affirmation, you could say whatever you wanted, but there are rules about how it works according to the people who do them. The statement that you make, it should be short. It should be an I statement. It should be in the present tense. So you wouldn't say, I'm going to get $1 million. You say, I have all the money I need. So it's always in the present tense. And that's because the universe doesn't know anything about time, the future. It only hears your thoughts now. It can't judge between things. And so you have to say it as if it's already true. And it gets you into the right place in order to receive things. That's on the sort of the spiritual side of the daily affirmation. The psychological side would just say that you're trying to make yourself feel better wherever you are. And so that should happen right now. It should be present tense statement.
So do people who practice saying daily affirmations, do they attest to the fact that they work? Is it something that's just more personal in terms of if they really make a difference in someone's life? Or is there actually any kind of scientific research on people who use daily affirmations and that it's been shown to really help them and change their life?
If you Google, like, is there anything to the daily affirmation, you do get a lot of sort of Psychology Today or positivepsychology.com about how it's definitely science. You know, people are doing research, and it's always better to have a good sense of yourself, good self-esteem rather than bad self-esteem. And there's a lot of studies that have been done, apparently. They're listed on a lot of these websites. One website claims that the daily affirmation actually arose out of science. I couldn't find any sources that really would have satisfied me in terms of science. I think it's just sort of, it's generally true that if you are an upbeat, happy person, better things are going to happen to you than if you're really sad and depressed and you don't get out of bed. Like, that's sort of a commonly known fact of being human. Those who are rich and healthy are happier than those who are poor and sick. So you should try to be happy and maybe you'll become rich and healthy. It's just sort of the way that humanity is. A lot of people try to make it science, but I think it's just sort of basic common sense that takes on a deeper and even a spiritual sense when you want to make yourself feel like what you're doing is vastly more important maybe than it really is.
If you've been putting off subscribing to the Christian Research Journal, and a subscription is $33.50, which brings the print edition right to your door, I want to tell you about some of the articles that we're having in our next print edition, because the only way you'll be able to read them is to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Now, of course, as I've mentioned before, every subscriber gets the online access to all the exclusive articles that are under a paywall on our website. Now, of course, there's thousands of free articles. Now, you might not know this, but the journal has been around for more than 40 years. That's a really long time and just a wealth of information that we've had printed over the years, which is now on our website, which is available to all the Christian apologists out there, as well as just the thoughtful layperson. They want to be equipped in understanding what they believe and why they believe it. But let me tell you about some of the stuff coming up, because you will not want to miss this, because it won't be on our website for a long time, because we're trying to encourage people to subscribe to our print edition. So I do want to highlight in particular a couple of articles. One is a very in-depth article on why biblical sexuality, that is marriage between man and a woman, is actually an essential of the historic Orthodox Christian faith. So why should all Christians hold to this view of biblical sexuality as between man and a woman? And it's not in the creeds, but why is it an essential of Christianity? So that's something you don't want to miss out on. Plus, we have Fuzz Rana from Reasons to Believe back giving us an in-depth look on transhumanism. So those are just a few things that I just want to whet your appetite to think about and for you to get on board and subscribe to our journal. Now, I understand that not everyone can afford to right now in their budget, given our economy, subscribe to the journal. But if you would like to give us a tip for this free content that you do get, and the next episode is a huge milestone for us. It's episode 300. We've been around for 6 years. That's a lot of free content that has been coming your way with our authors and these really thoughtful interviews that we've had for the last 6 years since 2016. So you can give us a tip. It could be maybe skipping a coffee for the week at your favorite coffee shop, just giving us a tip of $3 or let's say $5 or something like that, $10. Please go on to our website, equip.org, and you can go to magazine at the drop down, Postmodern Realities. Any of the landing pages has a link to give us a tip. But thank you for just actually getting the word out about this podcast. Please tell a friend and link your favorite episodes on your social media accounts or email them to a friend. And we thank you for your partnership.
So I want to ask you if it's, you know, possible for these daily affirmations. You just said, well, some people, if you're a sunny personality, you just might be a happier person. I mean, is it possible for daily affirmations to literally, I know there's no studies, but could it rewire our thinking, especially if we tend to be more negative type of people, to become someone who's more positive and more self-accepting and less having less self-condemnation?
I do think there, yes, it's possible. The book that really I thought that dealt with this better, The Coddling of the American Mind, and Luke Yanoff, I don't know how to say his name, and Jonathan Haidt talk about cognitive behavioral therapy, which is a thing, CBT, that has really helped a lot of people. It helped one of them in the book. And it is where you learn to talk back to yourself. It is true. I mean, this is true for Christians as well, of course, that if you are saying a lot of terrible things to yourself, like, I'm ugly, I'm worthless, I can't do anything right, nobody loves me, that will have a real effect on your life. And if other people have said those things to you and then you take them on and believe them, you're going to act in ways that actually reaffirm and bring them more fully into being. And so it is a good thing to begin to try. I encourage people to do this, to develop new self-talk. Say something else to yourself besides nobody loves me. You can start saying, well, God loves me at least, even if I don't love myself. You can even probably develop a sort of a script for yourself if you have a pattern of really bad, destructive thinking. Yes, I think you can, of course you can begin to rewire yourself if you were like a computer. But I would say that really what happens is that God begins to renew your mind. That's one of the things that scripture says. And your emotional life and your soul can experience healing through a long process of doing that.
As you talked about the self-talk, I mean, I think that's true for Christians. And specifically, I'm wondering about people who've experienced severe trauma in their life, like they came from an emotionally abusive household, or maybe even physically, or someone important to them, usually parents, had belittled them, or maybe even a sibling just constantly egging them on every day growing up and saying, you know, you're a loser, you're stupid, you're fat, you're ugly, or whatever. Or maybe sometimes it's not even just a family member. It could be that you were constantly bullied in school and you just start believing all those things that are said. Can they be used to heal from trauma? I don't want to make light of anyone who has had serious situations in their life where they've just been mercilessly, you know, bullied by either a family member or, you know, classmates or something like that. And it's really emotionally scarred them. And so they start having this self-talk, like you said, that's extremely negative. So could someone use them to heal themselves of these kind of past traumatic experiences that they've started believing about who they are as a person?
I would say you could maybe use the daily affirmation for that. As I'm thinking about it now, I sort of would go back to the stuff I wrote about gaslighting. Like, if somebody is persistently lying to you about who you are and the nature of the universe and God, that's going to have a really deleterious effect on you. You're going to experience some kind of trauma from that. And so you do need, at a very basic level, to be able to say, to cling to true realities and say them even out loud. And maybe they would be very short. So, but I don't know. I wouldn't call those a daily affirmation. I would maybe say, like, my daily true thing that I say out loud, so that God knows that I'm saying it. And that's not pithy enough. Daily affirmation is pretty pithy. But I absolutely think, like, it's definitely true that a person who's experienced trauma is going to have to develop other messages that they say to themselves. But I do think that one of the ways God in his providence usually brings somebody along, often brings somebody along, who says those things first and helps you to say them to yourself. And they don't need to even be your self-affirmation. It's that you begin to see that there are people who are not that malign who will say to you the things that you need to hear. And they may not be short, they may not be pithy, but they do need to be true. And I think that's my caution about daily affirmations, is that by saying something aspirational in the present tense, you're not really telling the truth. Like, if you want $1 million and you say, I am rich right now, and you don't mean that you're rich because you have everything you need, but you're rich because you're going to be getting $1 million in a year, that's not true. That you're telling a lie to the universe, and that's not going to heal or help you at all.
But is there some kind of biblical way for Christians to use daily affirmations for, let's say, we've covered self-care before. So just for self-care, if they're feeling like worn down and just feeling like really beat upon by just their life circumstances, does it help Christians for them to use some kind of daily affirmation? You know, I am worthy. I'm a worthy person. I was created by God. I'm worthy.
It's probably fine to do that, but it's not a good habit to be in. I was looking up some of the different scriptural, well, people advertise like Bible affirmations for your life, 110 affirmations using Bible verses as one. And these ones sort of shift around, like, instead of quoting the verse itself, they're rewritten so that it's about you. So, sort of paraphrasing John 15:8, the fruit I produce brings great joy to God, my Father in heaven, or 2 Corinthians, God's power works best in my weakness. That may not be like actually false, but it may be true in some sense, but it is not the correct use of scripture. It's not a good way to approach the Bible, as if you can sort of take a verse and then it will make you feel better about yourself. I mean, self-care in and of itself is problematic. God cares for us. We care for each other. Our self-care is not the primary thing that we should be worried about. And scripture in particular should be read in big amounts so that you get a sense of the character and nature of God and yourself in relationship to him. You really just shouldn't use it that way. Just sort of Bible verses to make yourself feel better about yourself. If anything, at the very least, it's a lazy way to go about having a spiritual life. And at the worst, it will make it impossible for you to understand the Bible in the way that it's meant to be understood, which is to get to know who God is.
But what about, there are a lot of Christians, I want to ask, what about the Christians that would say, you know, we need to claim the promises of God. So you mentioned that there are lists from the Bible of various different promises. And can't we affirm those? Because, you know, I've heard Christians say that we have not because we ask not, and we need to claim those promises of God. Like God, the Bible says, you know, this, so I'm going to claim this promise today. Like every day I'm going to say this so that I know it because it's in scripture. So what would you say to those people who would say that? Because they would say, well, we don't have peace because we're not claiming these promises of God, and we need to just claim them daily.
Yes, it's true. So for instance, you could say Psalm 23 every single day, which is in the present tense. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God is with me. It's in the present tense. He gives me everything I need right now. The Lord's Prayer, it has present tense promises that are God committing himself to look after you in all of your needs. And you should say those every day, for sure. Well, I'm an Anglican, so our prayer book is full of prayers that are scripturally oriented that tell you something in the moment, something that you can stand on for the whole day that orients your life according to God's grace. So, yes, of course you should. But I'm uncomfortable with the lists of promises of God that you pray over your life or you ask God for, because you should be careful about the context of the promises of God. Some things that God promises, he didn't promise to you. He promised to somebody a long time ago, and it was just for that person. Like Jabez, for instance. That's not a promise that you need to pray over your own life every day in the hopes of getting, you know, acreage. The Bible isn't a thing that you can use. It's God's self-revelation to us. And so we need to be careful how we read it and what we think about it and what we apply to ourselves or even ask God for. So yes, I think you should pray the Lord's Prayer every day, several times a day, and you should pray and ask God for things. As James says, you ask for things that you need, including healing and peace and happiness and joy and all those kinds of things and your material needs. It's not mechanistic when you ask. It doesn't mean that God is going to necessarily give to you the things that you think you want in the way that you want them.
Does God affirm Christians? Like I think about Psalm 139, you know, being fearfully and wonderfully made. Should we affirm ourselves this way? I mean, can we affirm ourselves this way? Like you just mentioned Psalm 23. Is that a habit that we should do to find verses that we feel that describe God's affirmation of his children?
Of course. You have to believe true things about yourself, and God tells us who we are. And for those who he calls according to his purposes, there is a deep affirmation of the person that God calls us not only his children, but his friends. He lays down his life for us and he accepts us. I guess I would say I like the word acceptance better than affirmation for Christians. God accepts us. He doesn't necessarily affirm us because his acceptance is based on him and his character and not on us and ours. I think there's so much confusion about even the word worthiness. Yes, in Psalm 139, God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He made you, but he doesn't affirm you in the sense that we most often experience that word now, which is that there's something inherent in us and everything that we do is good. And so God affirms us. That's not God's affirmation. God accepts his creatures based on the character of his son, and he gives grace to all, but to some, those he calls according to his purposes, he accepts them in a deeper and more eternal way, obviously. And so I just think it's the wrong question that Christians shouldn't be asking, does God affirm me? Or even, does God accept me? They should be saying, do I know God? Do I understand who he is? Do I understand what he wants me to do? Am I asking for the things that he wants me to ask for? The answer to some of those questions is going to be, no, I don't understand, or no, I'm asking for the wrong thing. And then really what the Christian should be doing every day is not a self-affirmation, but a confession of sin. Every day, Christians should be confessing their sins and asking God to make them holy and to forgive them. And that is the baseline of the Christian life. If you are confessing your sins every day, you will find that God, rather than affirming you, actually takes away your sin and lightens your load, forgives you, and gives you work to do that gives you joy and satisfaction. And so your whole orientation moves away from yourself and what you want and towards Him and who He is.
You know, I do want to add to what Anne was saying is that the thing about Psalm 139 is the first 16 verses does talk about how precious the believer is, that they were fearfully and wonderfully made. But then in verse 17, it says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God." So the believer is thinking about, well, what are the thoughts of God? Not necessarily what are the thoughts about myself, even though they have acknowledged that they're fearfully and wonderfully made. They're marveling at the vast sum of the thoughts of God Himself, more than the grains of sand. They can't even be counted, and they're precious to the believer. And I guess I would say to Christians that we should be in the Word to find out, well, what are the thoughts of God? What are the kinds of things that God thinks about? So I think that'd be helpful when we look at Psalm 139 that we talked about. But, you know, Christians, you know, you talked about praying the Lord's Prayer every day. So is there something else that Christians can do to feel encouraged? Because a lot of time, and especially, you know, we're recording this in 2022, we're just coming out of the last 2 years of, you know, being more isolated, being apart from the body of Christ. How can Christians feel personally encouraged? And also, you know, the Lord's Prayer does give us, at the latter part of the prayer, you know, ways in which we should come to God and ask Him for what we want and what we need, even physical things, if people might be suffering a job loss or a financial difficulty and those kinds of things. So how can Christians really biblically address those kinds of things?
The thing that really disturbed me most about the idea of daily affirmations is that, it, weirdly enough, by looking in the mirror and saying something to yourself, you're actually putting up a shield around yourself for the thoughts of other people, but also, as you said, the thoughts of God, who, in another scripture, it says, His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. So it's very hard for us to understand who He is, especially when we look at ourselves in the mirror. We're not going to be able to discover that. We have to look at His Word. Really, for the Christian, you don't look in the mirror and you don't say something to yourself about your present circumstances. You go to the scripture and you open up your soul. You bare your soul before God. You let your guard down. You don't put up a shield. You lay out for God every corner of yourself, all of your anxieties, all of your cares, all of your discouragements, all of your insecurities, which is really, a daily affirmation is supposed to get you past your insecurities. But the truth is that as human creatures, we are insecure because life is insecure. The pandemic has shown us that. We lack security. We cannot make it into eternal life without help. And so the Christian, rather than doing a daily affirmation, should go to the scripture and lay open the heart in all of its darkness and ask God for help. And the amazing thing about that, it is mysterious. It's a spiritual encouragement and help that God gives. He will come to you and He will communicate Himself, usually through His Word, to strengthen you and to give you what you need for that day. And it may mean that you're circumstantially still poor, that you still suffer even depression and even some trauma, but that He will be enough for you in that circumstance. And then the next day you do it again. And the next day, as you confess your sins and repent and give yourself to Him, He will be enough for you. That's the Christian life. It's not mechanistic and it's not easy. Like, you can't get it by reading or saying the same phrase every day or reading through a list of 200 Bible promises. That won't be a way that you get it. So it's harder, but ultimately Christians are going to be happier, and, you know, they're going to be good enough and smart enough, and other people might even like them.
So how would you answer the Christian who would say, well, especially those who are not from liturgical traditions, that would say, well, you know, you mentioned you're Anglican, you have a prayer book, but that seems to be very rote and mechanistic. And I don't know if that would be helpful for me to, you know, for even what's just, we were just talking about praying the Lord's Prayer every day. It's the same prayer every day.
I think you don't have to be liturgical. You don't have to use a prayer book. I think I love the prayer book because it's so full of scripture. So if you're reading the Bible systematically, which you should do, and then you have a book of prayers that are also full of scripture, you hear the Bible talking to itself, really. And I think if you have any kind of help like that, where scripture is speaking to scripture, and then God in that conversation will speak to you in a deeply intimate and personal way, if you really listen quietly, you will be helped by that. So, you know, you don't have to pray the same prayer every day, except, I mean, Jesus tells us to pray the Lord's Prayer. So I feel like we should do what he says. But you don't have to pray the morning prayer service every day, which does have a lot of repetition in it. But I mean, the thing that the daily affirmation people have right is that repetition is good. And I would agree with them in that saying the same thing over and over again can be really helpful, because it does, after a while, seep down past your defenses and get into your soul, which is why you should be so careful about what you say over and over again. Because what if you were affirming a lie about yourself every day? That would seep down and you would begin to believe it. So it's better if you repeat true things about God over and over and over again, because they seep past your defenses and get down and into the darkness of your soul. And then you will begin to live them as if they're true. So, you know, you don't have to be liturgical, of course, but I do think praying the same things over and over again is a really, really important part of being a Christian.
And how does that not become rote or mechanistic if you're praying the same, you know, the Lord's Prayer every day? Is it because the Spirit is working? Or, I mean, some Christians would say that's why we need to have spontaneous prayer as opposed to written out prayers.
I mean, I think most Christians make a division between two things that can go together. You don't have to pick. You can say prayers that you might not hear. You might just say, like, I say the Lord's Prayer 3 or 4 times on Sunday alone. And it's true that every time I say it, I'm not really feeling it in my soul. But I can say it with intention. I can mean it every time I say it, regardless of whether or not my emotions follow it. And that's why it's good to have extemporaneous prayer, both aloud with other people and by yourself in the quiet of your morning, perhaps, to have them both. Because if you have really soaked yourself in scripture and by saying it over and over again, memorized it, when you are praying, when you're speaking, saying to God what you want to say, those things that you have been praying will come forward in your mind, and you'll find that that's what you're asking God for. The things that he's already said he wanted to give you, that's what you'll be asking for. And the daily affirmation kind of mimics that, you know, it borrows that deeper and more rich theological worldview of Christians. God does mysteriously bring about his will for those who love him and who spend time praying to him. You don't have to make a choice. You can have both. But I would say, of course, there's no law. You should do what you feel comfortable with.
And I also think sometimes Christians, you know, haven't really, maybe they're from a tradition or a kind of denomination where they haven't used anything like the creeds and confessions or prayer books and so forth. But I find that it helps me remind myself of biblical truth. Specifically in my church, we don't say it every week. We say some kind of creed or Lord's Prayer or something like that every week. It kind of rotates. But sometimes we say the Nicene Creed, the part about who Jesus is. And wow, that really reorients me to the nature of Christ and his work. And I need to be reminded of that. So for myself personally, I found it helpful, because those are not, especially the Nicene Creed, when they were in that period of time in the early church history, they were debating the nature of Christ and they got it down to its biblical essence. Those are not things that I think of all the time when I'm addressing Jesus in my prayers. And I, for one, find it helpful. So I just wanted to let people know about that because that might not be part of their tradition. Well, finally, I have a fun rapid fire question for Anne, and it's summertime and I'm sure you're taking vacations, but if money was no object, what is a vacation you would enjoy taking?
Gosh, I think I would love to go to like Vietnam and just eat for a month. If money was no object, that would be so great. Well, yeah, somewhere I haven't been. I have never been to Asia. I've been to Africa and Europe. So if money was no object, I would go somewhere far away and eat a lot of food I've never even heard of before.
Well, that sounds like an interesting, fun vacation. Well, Anne, thanks for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
You've been listening to episode 299 of the Postmodern Realities podcast. Coming to you from the Christian Research Journal, today's guest has been Anne Kennedy. She has written an online exclusive feature article that our subscribers can read for free at our website, equip.org. Anne's article is called, I'm the Head, Not the Tail, A Christian Decides to Skip the Daily Affirmation. Stay connected with the Christian Research Institute and all the new content we have coming your way. The best way to do that is to head on over to our website, equip.org. There you will find thousands of free resources right at your fingertips, from articles to video to audio, and it's all for free. You'll find our podcasts hosted there, as well as the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which is hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff and streams live every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. In addition, you don't want to miss out on subscribing to Hank Unplugged, which is the podcast of Hank Hanegraaff. And it's in that podcast he has really in-depth, free-flowing, essential Christian conversations with some of the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people. And in addition, he has a new series on his podcast feed called Hank Unplugged Shorts, which Hank goes into the headlines in the mainstream media and refutes a lot of those cultural issues that we have in these short podcast episodes. And there's quite a few of them. You don't want to miss out on them. Now, if you want to find some of this at other places where it's all in one place, really subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's a great way to get all of our content there, our podcasts there, and different individual questions theologically that people have that Hank answers at our YouTube channel. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, I don't know how to subscribe to YouTube. I don't have a YouTube account. Well, actually, you might just have a YouTube account. If you have a Gmail address, you have a YouTube account. Just log into YouTube with your Gmail address and search for Bible Answer Man channel, and please become one of our subscribers. In addition, if you see that bell icon right there on our front page, please click that. And every time that we have new content, you will receive a notification that new content is up on our channel for you to be able to consume. So thank you so much for the ways in which you partner with the Christian Research Institute. We are grateful for you listening and reading and watching.